Blog Talk Radio.
And you're in the G-Zone with Giovanni Gelati. Gio, what's going on today?
Thank you, Big Daddy Evil. It's a Thursday evening, so that means it's Helping Hands for Us Thirsty Thursday. It's time to party, folks. Welcome to the G-Zone. We have a full night ahead. If you're on Facebook or Twitter, please join in with us. Just go to Helping Hands Press on either, and let's have some fun. Usually we start the evening off with a prayer. I'm waiting for it to cycle on Facebook here. Let's see, did it happen yet? Nope. I'll just give you a little what's going on this week. We had Betsy Otter Thompson on Tuesday. Margaret Grunstein was with us yesterday, and we had a really nice time. It was really good. I'm trying to get the Facebook posting here for the opening prayer, and it hasn't popped up yet. All right, I'll see if I can get it from over here. Let's see, here we go. Here you go. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we can't thank you enough for your passionate love for us. Help us to see you brought us together in this beautiful body of believers known as your church. Amen. This is from Our Daily Bread. It also says, our rough edges must be chipped away to bring out the image of Christ. All right. Welcome, everybody, to Helping Hands for Us Thirsty Thursday Party. We have a lot going on here tonight. Let's see. If you're on the blog, if you want, there's going to be stuff going on in a number of places. You can find the Helping Hands Press website very easily if you're on the Facebook page right now. If you're on the left sidebar, below the banner, it has the website, which is myhelpinghandspress.com. And if you're there at the website, you can just click on the blog or go to myhelpinghandspress.blogspot.com. And that's where you're going to see a lot of this evening's actions. We will be talking about this week's featured paperback, which is Murray Pure's Preacher Manage. I'm going to say I love very, very much. Also, the featured audiobook, which is Patty J. Smith's Grave Obsessions. And there's a new element on the sidebar for the pending series Corner of Crossroads and Cosplay. The folks at Helping Hands Press are asking that you help them pick who some of the fantasy creatures are that will be in the story. And you can choose from one of the following: vampire, wizard, zombie, elf, werewolves, Greek god, superhero, angel, demon, dwarf, troll, fairy, medieval knight, evil enchantress. You can pick as many of them as you want, and please vote as many times as you want. There's at 8:05, Patty J. Smith had an interview with Amber Shamel a little while ago. That'll be cropping up. New releases tonight for Ann Baxter Campbell for her Once Upon series. That'll all be in one complete ebook. I believe it is called Once Upon Some Holidays, which should be pretty cool. Let's see, some of the folks already here. Tony Helling, Joy Ross Davis, Linda Mizucci, Joseph Max Lewis. Let's see what got else going on here. Reading sample for Tony Helling. His next story is Volume 3 and The Voice of Ada Stamen. Larry Peterson, there's going to be two cover comparisons tonight. One is for Larry Peterson's new YA fantasy series, and the other one will be for Melanie M. Jaskey's prequel in her Oxford Chronicles called Evasions. We have new release tonight for Joy Ross Davis, Sisters Divided, Volume 7. The blog post for that last week, Slate, it got a ton of hits, and I think that's pretty amazing. We'll go through a lot of the stuff on the blog tonight as tonight progresses. The other person I was on yesterday was Catherine Brakefield. It was a really nice hour yesterday. Catherine Brakefield and Margaret Grunstein. Really interesting stuff. Looks like the blog post for Patty J. Smith's interview with Amber Shamel just popped up. And please give a read of that. And if you want to leave a comment either on Patty's blog or there in the body of the post, please go ahead. Big Jim Williams, he may be joining me here in the studio a little bit after 8:30. His post comes up at 8:35. Big Jim is the winner of the 2015 from Western Fictioneers, one of the Peacemaker Awards for Best First Novel. Quite an accomplishment for Big Jim. He'll be talking about that a little bit later. Peggy Bland Pfeiffer, she will be releasing Sweetwater River, her Volume 2, Undercurrents. There'll be a reading sample for that. Also, a new release tonight, the much-awaited fantasy novel from Murray Pure, A Soft Morning. That comes out this evening. As I said, Murray's also the featured paperback tonight with Preacher Man. We have an ebook giveaway going on all week on the blog. Answer a simple trivia question. You will get all the stories in the ebook bundle, just the number ones, Remington Colts. And that is the first story in the San Francisco Wedding Planner, the first story in the Wells Fargo Express series, First Colony Zero, first Declaration of Independence, and also the first Outlaw and Change. All pretty cool stuff. I talked a little bit about the Crossroads of Cosplay. The spring super sale is still going on until until June 18th. There's a neat blog post about Sue Badeau, where she's at in June and July. Also, a blog post about who's going to be on here on the G-Zone from the Helping Hands Press author community in June. And to round out the evening, we're going to play George Taylor's latest podcast, which is quite a feather in George's cap. George is going to be at the Here Now, the Audio Fiction and Arts Festival. Now, I just want to read this right off the bat, because this is really cool. This is from George. I will be participating in the audio equivalent of a film festival. Here Now, the Audio Fiction and Arts Festival is the only festival of its kind in the U.S. It features contemporary audio fiction, including live and scripted solo performances, audio theater, audiobooks, audio art, classic radio drama, sound design, and much more. Kansas City, Missouri hosts this festival this year from June 11th to 14th. The festival is featuring a celebration of the works of Mark Twain. Actresses Kelly Hazan and Roseanne Devine and I will be appearing on Thursday evening to read excerpts from three works of Mark Twain. I will read from Huckleberry Finn, Kelly will read from Tom Sawyer, and Roseanne Devine will read from The Diaries of Adam and Eve. In this podcast, I feature an interview with actress Rose Devine, information about Kelly Hazan, and readings from all of us. Now, I'm going to play George's podcast at the end of the evening tonight, and it'll also be played in its entirety Monday morning, 8:30. AM Eastern Standard Time. So the link for the individual show is there on the there in the blog post. All right. Let's see what's going on Facebook real quick. Okay, M. Baxter Campbell's in the house. Okay. Where am I at? It's 8:09. All right, Ann Baxter Campbell's post is going to pop up in a minute. And what I want to do is I want to play a few audio samples this evening before we get into before we get into George's thing. What I'm going to do first off is play the audio sample of this week's featured audio book, which is Patty J. Smith's Gray's Obsessions. If you are on the blog, there are three tabs up top. One is home, the main blog. The other one's featured paperbacks. And then the featured audiobook. And if you click on featured audiobook, there you see it. Patty J. Smith's Grave Obsessions, Volume 1. What is this about? Grave Obsessions, Chiseled Heart. He noticed a strong odor as he moved the curtains to look inside. A vile liquid surged up in his throat and spilled out on the grass. He grabbed his cell phone and dialed 911. Thus begins the case that unnerves the most seasoned veterans on the force. A witness interviewed leads Detective Dallas Keegan and her partner to evidence that puts the investigation into overdrive. He is not done. His personal life unravels as she hunts down this demon while fighting her own. Now, anything in the Helping Hands Press store right now, whether it's Patty's audiobook, Murray Pure's paperback, because of the spring super sale, it's 25% off if at checkout you put in the simple coupon code Spring Super Sale. So if you're going to buy anything, please put in Spring Super Sale. Save the 25%. The buy link for Patty's audiobook is right there. There's also a bit more about Patty and many of her links. If you go to her blog, she is a prolific blogger. She has a lot of very interesting stuff on there. Her sidebars are very well populated. You can also go to her Amazon author page, Pinterest, Twitter, Goodreads, Facebook. And what I'm going to do now is play Patty J. Smith's Grave Obsessions as narrated by voice actor George Taylor. Take it away, George.
Helping Hands Press is proud to present Grave Obsessions, Volume 1, Chiseled Heart by Patty J. Smith. This police mystery begins with a case that unnerves the most seasoned veterans on the force. A witness interview leads Detective Dallas Keegan and her partner to evidence that puts the investigation into overdrive. He is not done. Her personal life unravels as she hunts down this demon while fighting her own. Readers say, I love the pace of this story, keeps you on the edge of your seat as you read, and the descriptions are written in a you-are-there style. Reading this is like watching an episode of Law and Order. Great read, another reader says. This book kept me on the edge of my seat from start to finish. And finally, a reader writes, good mystery, some spiritual guidance. Let's listen to an excerpt from Grave Obsessions, Volume 1, Chiseled Heart. Arriving at the complex, Dallas was forced to slow the car to a crawl in order to dodge the crowd of concerned neighbors and looky-loos clamoring to get close to the action. Once parked, she and Bennett ducked under the yellow crime scene tape and flashed their badges to a uniform stationed outside the apartment. As they entered, their latex gloves snapped in unison. The living room was sparsely furnished, but tidy, no indication of a struggle. An unopened backpack lay on the couch. A yellow light blinked from the answering machine on the kitchen counter. Dallas made a mental note to pull the messages before leaving and headed down the hall. The stench of death permeated the air. A crime lab technician came out of the bedroom carrying a camera. Whoever did this was psycho, that poor kid. The first image was that of small feet, one covered by a slipper, the other bared. The medical examiner, standing over the body, moved aside so they could get a full view. Dallas cringed. The victim was on the floor next to her bed in a t-shirt and boxers, saturated with blood that had pooled around the body. Her facial expression was frozen, mid-scream, eyes wide open, staring blankly at the ceiling. Below the chin was a gaping slit that went ear to ear, resembling a macabre smile. What came next sent chills down Dallas's spine. Carved on the right cheek was the word, "My." On the left was a heart. The ME continued the exterior examination, and Dallas focused on the rest of the room. Similar to other areas in the apartment, there was no sign of a struggle. It was quick, she said aloud. She was blindsided. A breeze flowed through the open window, leading to a grassy hill down the street. Easy in, easy out. She tapped the ME on the shoulder. We'll let you finish up here, Doc. Crap, the guy left a signature, Bennett said. Hope I'm wrong, but I have a bad feeling about this. Dallas nodded in agreement. She went to the kitchen and pressed the playback button on the answering machine. All the messages were from that morning, asking her where she was, including one from an obviously distraught mother. Suddenly she zoned out, unable to focus on anything. The sound of the backpack being unzipped brought her back to the scene. The only contents were a purse and a red apron. He poked around the purse, locating the wallet and driver's license. "A name is Camille Garza." Then with a heavy sigh, "Keegan, the kid's only 22. Returning everything to the pack, he left it on the couch to be bagged and tagged. He stepped outside to call the lieutenant with an update. Meanwhile, Dallas located the officer first on the scene. He conveyed the landlord's account. She asked if the guy was nearby, and the officer pointed towards a man sitting in a golf cart, visibly shaken. She approached him with an apology for what he had experienced, as well as having to answer more questions. The crowd was growing, and several demanded to know what was going on. An announcement from a squad car speaker quieted them down.
"People, please, we just started the investigation. Go home. We'll be interviewing residents later, so if you witnessed something last night, give one of the officers your name and address."
Moans erupted, but eventually everyone complied. Several walked off the property down the hill towards the strip mall. He was among them. A frown formed as he thought to himself, "Wrong, wrong, wrong." A sample from Grave Obsessions by Patty J. Smith, Volume 1, Chiseled Heart. It's from Helping Hands Press at myhelpinghandspress.com and narrated by George Taylor of narrationbygeorge.com.
I'm going to have to remember not to read the introductions anymore because George does a way better job than me. So I'll skip that part in the future. You're listening to the G-Zone. We're simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thirsty Thursday Party. If you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, please follow along with us and enjoy the fun. The post for Tony Helling's reading sample, Voice of Ada Stamen, Volume 3, Leela, just popped up. Please, if you're going to give it a read, leave a comment on the either here on Facebook or Twitter or on the blog itself, and I will be happy to read them and share them with everybody. Okay, let's get to some of the business on the blog. Let's see, top 10 countries on the Helping Hands Press blog right now. That is countries that have visited the Helping Hands Press blog in the last week, top 10. First one, United States. Number 2, Russia. 3, Germany. 4, France. Number 5, United Kingdom. Number 6, Slovakia. 7, Netherlands. 8, Ireland. Number 9, Venezuela. And rounding out the top 10 is Denmark. Congratulations. Let's see, overview here. To date, the Helping Hands Press blog has gotten 672,810 page views. Looks like if this stays on course, it will top a million a lot sooner than everybody thought. So that's pretty cool. Hopefully in August, this will hit a million page views. Which I think is a nice feather in everybody's cap at Helping Hands Press. Let's see if anything's going on here on the Facebook page. Let's see. I see Cindy Noonan's popped in. Peggy Bland Pfeiffer. We'll be discussing her Sweetwater River in a little bit. Larry Peterson's cover comparison will be coming up in a little bit. Let me just go to the blog real fast. If you're on the blog and you're scrolling down, the folks that will be the authors that are going to be on here on the G-Zone in June are June Foster. She'll be with me here on the show next week on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, Melanie Mjaski will be here. Then Thursday night we'll be doing Thirsty Thursday again. Flora Regatta will be with us on Wednesday the 17th. Tuesday as a guest is Christy Cameron. Then Thursday on the 18th, we'll be simulcasting that. And then as we get near the end of the month, Larry Peterson and Tracy Krause will be on with us on the 23rd and 24th. That's a Tuesday and a Wednesday, and then the Thursday party on Thursday. On the 22nd, on Monday, Kim Vogel-Sawyer will be here on the show. She'll be coming back here, which is pretty cool. It'll be a lot of interesting guests. Now, right across from that post, What Help Against Press Authors are on the Blog Talk Show, here are the top 10 most popular posts on the Helping Hands Press blog. Number one, about the post for the series launch for Peggy Bland Pfeiffer, Sweetwater River. The second one is Murray Pure is a Soft Morning. That'll be released this evening. It is available in the Helping Hands Press store. It's a $2.99 download. And if you do use the coupon code SPRINGSUPERSALE, you'll be able to get the 25% off of the $2.99. Where are we at? Okay, next up, Michelle Huey's Fifth Wheel. Then we have Blog Talk Radio, Sunrise and Sweetland Crew. We're here on the show. You can listen into that anytime you want. Any of the shows in the archives, and I believe here on the G-Zone, we've done about 615, 620 shows. You can go back to any of the shows in the archives, listen to them 24/7. Anytime you want to, feel free to do so. Next blog post is the audio sample of Joy Ross Davis's The Settler of Petersburg. Then we have the cover choices for William Tash on Backslide. Just a note on that. Next week, during Thursday, that'll be on the 11th, June 11th, William Tash's Backslide will be released in ebook and in audiobook. Next blog post is the reading sample for Joseph Max Lewis's Baghdad Burning. Meet William Conard and the cover that everybody helped him choose. Number nine is Detectives Incorporated. And then rounding out the top ten, and this one, just in 1 week, it jumped into the top ten. Read the sample of Joy Ross Davis's Sisters Divided. Now, the post for that comes up at 8:30, and you will be able to get the link to purchase that. And the number of hits that has gotten in 1 week is a little bit staggering. 1 week, Joy Ross Davis's blog post has gotten over almost 2,800 views in 1 week. So congratulations, Joy Ross Davis. Props. Let's see what we have here. Comments on Tony Hillings, Volume 3 of The Voice of Ada Stamen, Layla. Very nice work, Tony. Intriguing. That's by Joy Ross Davis. Marcelli Laycock says, good stuff, Tony. Those are now published. Let's see. Let's go back to the Facebook page. Patty J. Smith's post just popped up for her audiobook, the featured audiobook, Grave Obsessions. Marta Burden is popping in. She's liked the post. Let's see. Pamela Horner, well done. Let's see. See some of the comments on M. Baxter Campbell's Once Upon Some Holidays. Joseph Max Lewis, congratulations. Pamela Horner, awesome. Linda Mizucci, congrats. Joy Ross Davis, very happy. M. Baxter Campbell loves the cover. So that's all good. Okay. I'll see where we're at. I'm going to move my notebook over here. Thank you, SpongeBob, for holding up my notebook. Time here is 8:25. Larry Peterson's post for his covers are about to crop up. So while everybody's taking a look at that, what I want to do is I'm going to play the audio sample for William Tash's Backslide. Hold on a second. We have a caller. Let's bring him in. Hi, who's this? Welcome to the show. Hello?
Giovanni, are you hearing me or not?
Yeah.
Jim Williams?
Hey, how you doing, Big Jim? Yeah. Congratulations.
I wasn't sure that I was actually on the line there. I called and didn't punch number one, so I thought I was just standing by and listening. But I hope all is well where you are back in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, congratulations on being the first prize winner for the Western Fictioneers 5th Annual Peacemaker Award for 2015 Best First Novel.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. There were a whole bunch of us competing for that title, and it narrowed down to four of us, and then on five of us, actually, and then on June 1st, the Western Fictioneers announced that The Cattle Drive, published by your company, had been selected as the first-time Novel Peacemaker Award for 2015, and this is the fifth consecutive year that they've had the awards. I'm elated about it. It's quite an honor, and I appreciate it very much in having it. I've worked hard, but nonetheless, I had some very, very tough competition and some big names in the writing field, so I'm very excited about that.
That's pretty cool. Now, you celebrated your birthday right around the same time, right?
Yeah, actually, my birthday was on May 30th, so which was, you know, just a day or so before, actually, you know, 2 days before. So you couldn't ask for a better birthday prize than winning a special award from the Western Fictioneers for Cattle Drive. That's the best, probably one of the best birthday presents I've ever had, other than being released from the Army at about that same time. So I'm happy about that. And during all of this, though, my wife fell and broke her hip, and she's been in the hospital for the last 3 weeks, so she's coming home tomorrow. I'm very happy about that. But the award for Cattle Drive is just a nice feather to stick in one's cap, and to add it along with the Jake Silverhorn series and some other writing that I've done. So very happy about that. Very happy indeed there, Giovanni.
That's nice. The Western Fictioneers, they deal with primarily the Old West, right? They have a very specific type of Western.
Well, they're a very interesting group. There are about 100 of us now. I've been a member for about 2 years. The group has been around for many years, but they're all professional writers, men and women, primarily men, and they're scattered all over the United States and in Canada, as well as in Japan, and we even have one MD in the group who writes for you, Clay Moore, and he lives in England. Writes under several different names, as you well know, and I correspond with him now and then. As a matter of fact, we just swapped emails a couple of days ago. But it's really a marvelous group. Some of the people have, I consider myself very fortunate because so many of the Western Fictioneers write under several different names or published 20 novels, 30 novels. We even have one member that has written 400 different novels. And that, to me, is an astronomical series, James Reasoner. That's an amazing feat on behalf of anyone, no matter what you write. But they write Westerns, they write detective novels, they write romance novels, they write nonfiction. It's just an amazing group of men and women, and they have been, from day one, extremely helpful to me. And it was through James Griffin, when he opened the door to you at your press, High Noon Press, and introduced me to you, and when I submitted Cattle Drive, you took it and you published it, and I appreciate that deeply.
You're more than welcome, Jim. You're a very good writer. what do you think the award means for you? A lot of recognition within the group?
It's a recognition thing. I'm very honored about it, and it's there's a convention coming up of Western fictioneers and outside of St. Louis in Illinois in late October, early November, and I would love to attend that. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to or not, but I'm hoping to do so. But to me, it's a feather in the cap. It's like winning the Spur Award from the Western Writers of America. That would be quite an achievement as well. I'm going to keep on writing. It's an encouragement, there's no question about it, to have somebody acknowledge your writing. And that's something that's going to spur me on to write more. I never stop writing. I write every day that I possibly can do so. Of recent date, though, because of my wife's illness, I haven't been able to touch a keyboard. But I have a whole bunch of stuff in my archives that I've been writing for years, and new material as well. As you know, I started writing Cattle Drive in 1985 when I was a full-time publicist and got tired of writing nonfiction, and I wanted to write fiction. So I started writing fiction early in the morning, late at night, and on weekends. And so that's when I started writing Cattle Drive back in 1985. And I also have another book I've also finished, too, that still needs some cleaning up. But I started writing that, too, about the same time. So I've never stopped writing. I've always wanted to write. And I love to engross myself in the fiction characters one creates. And it's fun. It's fun. If it were not fun, I would not be doing it. I can tell you that.
That's pretty cool. Really nice. What kind of letters and emails were you getting from your friends in the Western Fictioneers after the announcement was made?
I've received some very congratulatory notes. One of them stands out especially so. And one of the women writers sent me, I don't have the item right in front of me right now, but she congratulated me for winning the particular first-time novel award for the Western Fictioneers. And then she also went on to say, Jim, you're an encouragement in the sense of the word that you started writing this back in 1985, and on top of that, you're one of our senior citizens. I cannot believe this, but I just turned 83 the other day, and I don't feel 83. Of course, I've never been 83 before, but I'm in reasonably good health and plan to keep on trucking. But she was just saying that it keep on plugging, and she said from that standpoint, that's an encouraging thought, and maybe it will encourage other people to continue to write as well. You may know for a fact, Giovanni, that I'm trying to think of the great Grandma Moses. She really did not start painting pictures and selling them until she was 65 years of age. So there's still hope for anybody out there who wants to paint or write or sing or do magic or whatever it may be. I suggest they just keep on doing it. And it'll pay off. It takes years. But it'll pay off, and if it's something you enjoy, you'll never work a day in your life, as somebody once said.
Yeah. My kids have asked me to stop singing, though. They told me there's no hope for me. So I don't sing around the house too much anymore.
Are you one of those gentlemen who couldn't carry a tune in a bucket or two buckets at the same time?
Yeah, I don't. None of that really has worked for me. But I every so often, I just to irritate them, I'll break out in the song. Especially if it's a good Huey Lewis number, I'll sing along with it.
Singing is good for the soul. It really is, as far as I'm concerned. Would you want me to read anything at all from Cattle Drive? I've got a couple of things out there I could read. Okay, let me just slip over and see what I've got here. My main character in Cattle Drive is a fellow by the name of Buck. And he was on a ranch. This is in 1873 in Texas. And he broke from the ranch and moved into town. And here's what happened while he was there. Buck remembered how clean it had been once when he had left ranch life. If he had stayed in town living with that good-looking widow woman, he could have been clean all the time and slept in a feather-soft double bed every night. He liked that big bed, and especially her in it. There had been good fun. There had been good food and china plates on the table, fresh, clean clothes, and a wash-tub hanging on the kitchen wall for a hot bath when he needed one. There had even been kids, too, but the price had been too high. Things had been fine at first. He moved into town to take a job in the feed and dry goods store, like she had wanted him to do. He had hated it. Missed ranch life. He'd said living in a bunkhouse 10 miles out of town, she said, with your woman in town was not a good idea. The kids were hers. He hadn't minded being around them at first. They were pretty good kids as kids go. But then they did something wrong and needed discipline. That's when trouble really started for Buck and the woman he lived with. They ain't your kids, she yelled. Keep your hands off them. Don't you ever touch them again, Buck. So Buck stopped trying to discipline them and learned real fast how to play her off. They did against him. That's when her softness became hard. Then she complained about how she couldn't handle the boys alone, but needed his help. And so the next time the boys were fighting, Buck stepped in and broke them up, and she started yelling at Buck again. That's when he stopped trying to figure her out. He stopped caring. He didn't even say goodbye. Just packed his bedroll after their last big fight and headed out the door. She had been yelling and screaming 1 minute, and then when she finally realized he was really leaving, begged him to stay. He just rode off, didn't look back, and got his old job back at the ranch. And besides, they were never married anyway. And that's just a portion of chapter 2 in Cattle Drive.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you got it out, and folks have gotten to read it, and you got some very positive feedback on it. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was very pleased with that, and a lot of encouragement along the way. And, you know, that's one of the things I may have mentioned before, and stop me if you want me to here, but I've been a member of a writers group for almost 20 years. And in that writers group, there are about 10 of us. And all of us are published writers at this point in our lives. Now, when we started out, we were not. But we've all continued to plug away. We meet every 2 weeks. We read our own material around the table. And each one of the members of the writers group critiques the others. And it's all constructive criticism. And we encourage each other, and we've helped each other in the sense of the word that, hey, why don't you send that off to Western Horseman magazine or something of that nature, or, gee, that's a nice poem. I think a magazine I can think of would love to possibly publish that. So we've encouraged each other, and now all of us but one have become published authors, whether it happens to be short stories or poems or full books, full novels, and it's been great, and I really encourage people that if they want to write, to get involved with people who are serious about writing as well, and to begin to learn off each other and feed off each other. And when I read something, it's amazing the feedback I get that's positive, and also the feedback I get that's constructive in the sense of the word, gee, I think, Jim, you were redundant in paragraph 5, and you said almost the same thing in paragraph 1. And when you're also, we all read our own material aloud. And when we do that, too, it's amazing the little things you pick up that you realize are incorrect and you want to correct them. So here again, if somebody wants to be a writer, it's an isolated kind of a thing to do. But find a good writer's group or start one. Get together with people who love writing as much as you do and go for it. I think it's a great thing, and I think it pays off in the long run.
Now, does everybody try to get you to read their story because of your awesome voice?
No, they don't. I've had that happen to me when I was taking adult ed classes. There was a young woman in the audience who, as a matter of fact, she was had something was wrong with her physically, and she could not really read aloud, so she used to give me her material in the adult ed writing classes that I took a number of years ago, and I would read her material. But that's about the only time. Everybody usually reads their own for emphasis. And also, there's something strange about that. When you read your own material, suddenly the mistakes and places that need to be corrected seem to jump out at you, where when other people are in the room. But if you read it alone, it's funny. You don't really seem to notice those areas that need to be corrected.
Well, it doesn't roll off your tongue so much as when you read it as when you write it.
I think so. It's a funny kind of thing. You know, you see words on the screen of your computer. That's one thing. You see words on a piece of paper when you print it out, and it's amazing you see something else that's different. And then when you read it off the paper aloud or off the screen, especially off the paper, something else will pop out that needs to be corrected. When I write something, when I'm finally through with it and feel it's right for me, I run it through the speaker voice that's inside my Mac computer. I have a program that will read the text back to me, and I find that extremely constructive. And then when I'm totally satisfied with that and have made the corrections on it, then I print it out, and take the printed copy into my wife, Joan, and she reads it for grammar, punctuation, clarity, and you know, that type of thing. So she's my proofreader and editor, and she marks it up in red pen, and then we talk about it, and then I go back and make the final corrections on my computer. And the same thing happens too when I read that material too, as I mentioned earlier, to the members of my writers group too that we're in a nearby city. All of that comes to fore, and it's really a very good way to woodshed a piece of copy to make sure it's right.
Pretty cool. I really want to thank you for being on tonight. It's been a real pleasure, and congratulations again.
Well, thank again you for having me.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. I mean, you winning the award is a really nice thing. I think that it's awesome that this has been something that you've been working on since 85, and here you are getting the Peacemaker Award for the first novel. I think that's awesome.
Well, the Peacemaker Award is it's been going on now for 5 years by the national group, the Western Fictioneers, of about 100 members, and winning the first novel award, the Peacemaker Award for that, is it's an honor. I deeply appreciate it, and I deeply appreciate the fact that you, sir, have printed my novel, Cattle Drive, and have also are now posting the Jake Silverhorn series, too, up online. And I've got more to come as time goes by. But thanks for having me on, Giovanni. I appreciate it very much.
Total pleasure. I wish you well, and I hope that your wife gets better. Thanks a lot.
I hope so, too. All right. Have a nice, pleasant evening back there. Okay, take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Big Jim Williams, everybody, author of Cattle Drive and the Jake Silverhorn series. While we were talking with Big Jim, a few things have cropped up here. Right now, the reading sample for Peggy Bland Pfeiffer's Sweetwater River Volume 2 Undercurrents is available for you to read. Please, if you would, leave a comment here on the Facebook page or on the blog post itself. So it gets posted. We did talk to Big Jim about his award. And congratulations by a few folks, Linda Mizucci, Peg Bland Pfeiffer, Pam Horner, Tony Helling. We had the post for Joy Ross Davis's Sisters Divided, Volume 7, Heartbroken Angel. It's available now in Helping Hands Press Store. It's a 99-cent download for the short story. If you, at checkout, put in the code Spring Super Sale, you'll get 25% off of that. Now, let's get down to the post for Larry Peterson's soon. He's launching a new YA fantasy series, The Demons of Abaddon. And there's some very interesting comments here. Joy Ross Davis, she likes both covers, but A really stands out for me. The reason why it stands out, she says, the red color and luxurious look of those robes contrasts with the green, I think. And two, I like the faceless robes. Okay. Pamela Horner, she chooses B, the one with the individual. It appears more focused, creepier in a good way, and draws the eye and the interest. Okay. Let's see. Just Max Lewis, she goes with B, the one with the guys in the red robes. Marcella Laycock, she likes B. Peggy Bland Pfeiffer, mixed emotions on this. I like the forest background on B, but the person looks like a guy on a in a hoodie. The red figures on A look ominous as a description, but the background is blah, sorry. Linda Mizzucci goes with A. The red robes are eye-catching. Ann Baxter Campbell, she says they both just look scary. We'll see. On the feature paperbacks, well, let me get down here to some of the nice words for Tony Helling and his reading sample for Layla, Volume 3, and the voice made a statement. Let's see. Pamela Horner says, well done. And Tony says, thank you, both Pamela and Marcia. She left a comment on the blog. Nice work, Tony, by Joy Ross Davis. Flora Regatta, she says, I was immediately drawn into your description of the remains of a log shack on a small, secured plateau between two wooden hills. I love the abandoned places and all the secrets and spirits they contain. Good writing, Tony. Okay. What I want to do, as we are getting near the next cover comparison for Melanie M. Jasky, let me just see here. The blog post for the post on Facebook and Twitter for Murray Pure's A Soft Morning, the release of his fantasy novel, is up right now. And it is available in Helping Hands Press store right now for $2.99. It'll be available on Amazon over the weekend. We'll see. Okay, what I want to do is I want to play the audio sample for William Tash's Backslide. That's going to be coming out next week in both audio book and ebook. And William Tash should be on Facebook next week to discuss that. This week he is unavailable. So without further ado, I'm going to hand this over to George Taylor from Narration by George, the voice actor, for William Tash's Backslide. Take it away, George.
Meet Paul. He's the quarterback for his high school's football team. Good-looking, popular, until his father's business folded. Now he's working in the local burger joint, but he's sure he still has it. Meet Tracy. She's Paul's twin sister. Pretty, and she knows it. What folks call stuck up, a snob. And she's wondering about her life now that her parents have nothing. Meet Cole. He seems to be an ordinary high schooler. However, he tells everyone who doesn't know about Jesus the Jesus story, leading many to know the Savior. Cole has just gone to work at the local burger joint. What will he tell Paul? And Tracy. Cole spotted this beautiful young lady. What will he say to her? Helping Hands Press and William Tash present Backslide, narrated by George Taylor of narrationbygeorge.com. Take a listen to this sample. Paul Compton stood in the storage room of the best burger restaurant, checking out his image, staring back at him in the full-length mirror that was placed carefully on the back of the door. He breathed in the fading aroma of stale onions and fresh-cooked French fries. The break room, which doubled as a storage area, was filled with silver-colored wire shelves all around that had cardboard boxes with the tops ripped off containing ketchup and mustard packets. There were plastic tubs of mayonnaise stacked on the shelves, as well as plastic bags of paper cups and lids for fountain drinks and French fry boxes in all sizes, along with paper bags for takeout orders as well. At 6 foot 1 inch tall, he was only a couple of inches below the top of the mirror. Ignoring the foul fast food smells he had become used to, he read the sign posted above the mirror out loud to himself, since he was the only one in the room. "Have you checked yourself today?" "Why, yes. Yes, I have, and thank you. I'm checking myself right now, thank you very much. And oh, those big brown eyes are gorgeous, young man. Love those wavy brown locks of hair to match. Well, thanks again, Mr. Mirror on the Wall," he said sarcastically, while snapping his fingers, winking and pointing at his mirror image. He took another moment to admire his perfect white teeth, practiced smile, and chiseled jaw. There were probably better ways to make money than flipping burgers, he thought, or, as in this place, running them through a charbroiler that was chain-fed. But at 17, it was going to have to do, especially since his dad had recently lost his company business in a lawsuit gone bad. Paul had gone from being a star football player, dating one of the hottest cheerleaders, and having money falling out of his pockets, to their family almost being homeless, moving to the ghetto side of town, as everyone called it, and having to get a job and work to help out. Life seemed cruel to him, but maybe this was a good lesson. He wasn't sure how, but he did find out he didn't really have any real friends during the ordeal. A few stood by his side, but when push came to shove, their loyalty withered like a dandelion on a hot summer day. There were plenty of whispers traveling through the school about the sexual harassment lawsuit that caused the collapse, but no one seemed to be on the side of his family. He decided working would teach him something. He wasn't sure what that was yet, but after all these months working, there must have been a lesson somewhere. He had learned to think before spending any money, so that was good. He slicked back his shoulder-length brown locks of hair and pointed at himself in the mirror again, quite pleased at what he saw. "You are still the sexiest man at Arrowhead Regional High School, even if your family is no longer rich." He kissed the air, quite pleased with the way he looked, slipped on his paper "Eat the Best, Forget the Rest" hat, and was almost knocked over as the door swung inward. "Hey, man, watch out! You have to be careful coming in here. Don't you know the rules?" His face twisted with a sudden rage as he screamed at the boy he had seen in school walk in. His face turned red and he clenched his jaw as he tried to control his anger, but that was a hard thing for him to do. The rage was instantaneous and made him see red, usually only for a few seconds. "Oh, sorry. I'm new here. No one told me about any of the rules yet. I'm Cole Jeffries, and you're the football guy, Paul, right? You play that big position, what's it called?" Paul nodded, a little annoyed. "Quarterback." Cole snapped his fingers and pointed at Paul. "Right, quarterback." Cole thrust out his hand and felt a momentary but very distinct coolness that he knew all too well as Paul took his hand and shook it. Paul was not saved. Cole had the gift of knowing that the second he shook his hand. He didn't know how the gift worked, wasn't exactly sure why God had given it to him, but the second he shook anyone's hand, or sometimes when he got near someone, it was clear to him if they were on the path to heaven, or possibly hell, whichever the case may be. The opportunity to share the gospel and the salvation message seemed to be a constant in Cole's everyday life. He liked the fact that God had entrusted him with such a special gift. He shivered at the thought of Paul going to hell and let go of his hand. It was another opportunity for him to share the salvation message when the time was right. "Sorry about the door. The manager told me to get a shirt and paper hat back here." Paul's anger left as quickly as it had come, and he unclenched his jaw as he sized up the lanky kid with blonde locks and brown eyes he'd seen around school before. He always had a few friends around him, as he was always speaking about God, and he was always carrying a Bible around, waving his hands animatedly in the hallway like some deranged television evangelist. "Yeah, I'm the football guy, and you're the Jesus freak, right?" "Jesus freak? Sweet, I've been called worse. I guess that would be me, Mr. Jesus Freak." That's "Backslide" by William Tash from Helping Hands Press and narration by George.com.
All right, we're back. You're listening to the G-Zone. We're simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thirsty Thursday Party. We're on Facebook and Twitter also right now. Some of the posts, all the posts from today, are on Google Plus if you are a Google Plus user. Post just popped up a little bit ago from Melanie Majaski's Evasions, which is a prequel in her Oxford Chronicles series. And Joey Ross Davis goes with A. Most definitely for me, she loves the dark hallway and the bright green outside yard beckoning. Let me just go down a little bit. Murray Pure's Soft Morning has just been released. That is $2.99 in the Helping Hands Press store. We'll see. Some of the comments for Pegaban Pfeiffer's Undercurrents, which is Volume 2 in her Sweetwater River series. Let's see. Sounds like quite a family. Joseph Max Lewis, congrats. Pegaban Pfeiffer, thanks, guys. I hope you enjoyed. I'm working on finishing the rest right now. Let's see. Pamela Horner enjoyed listening to Big Jim Williams talk about his cattle drive as he won the 2015 First Novel Award, Peacemaker Award from the Western Fictioneers. And Joy Ross Davis says she enjoys his voice. Jim used to do a lot of work with his voice many moons ago. He's been on just about everything, TV, radio, all that kind of stuff. Let's see. I want to see if there's any more comments on the blog post for the Larry Peterson covers. Looks like most folks are going after B. There's a few A's, a few B's. I think we'll see how things progress during the week on Facebook and Twitter. And also on Stumble Upon a Tumblr, that kind of stuff, as to what else can go on here. Let me just see if there's any comments over on the blog. Larry Peterson, he says, thanks, Marcia. He agrees with her comment. Okay. Yeah, I want to go back to the blog and talk about some of the other posts here. One of them, which is going to pop up at 9:05, is for the poll on the sidebar of the Helping Hands Press blog. What fantasy warriors and scary creatures would you like to see in at the corner of Crossroads and Cosplay? Now, last week we were talking about this new series quite a bit, as Mark Miller had a post up. And here's a little bit more. Cosplay. For those of you who don't know what cosplay is, if you've never gone to a Comic-Con or not been involved in cosplay at all, it is the art or practice of wearing costumes to portray characters from fiction, especially manga, animation, and science fiction movies or books. Nerd. An intelligent but single-minded person obsessed with a non-social hobby or pursuit. Hopefully that helps set the scene. Imagine a convention hall filled with socially awkward people dressed as their favorite movie or comic book character. You should have a pretty good idea of the uniqueness of it all. Yeah, I can attest to it. I've been to two, and I'm planning on going to the Philly Comic Con again next year. If I can get to another city this year, I may. Absolutely amazing events. Comic Cons can be found in most every state in the U.S., and many major cities around the world. They are now the setting for major movie studios or video game designers to announce their newest projects. Hollywood movie stars are not the only celebrities to be found there either. Comic book artists, 1980s B-level TV actors, or the royalty of modern conventions. Comic cons are wild, extravagant, and attended en masse by nerd and nerd chic. About the series, what if the characters at the conventions were not playing make-believe? What if they were real? What if the highest fantasy warriors and scariest creatures could be real and waging a battle in plain view? After all, bringing fantasy to life is essentially the definition of cosplay in the arena of a Comic-Con. What fantasy warriors and scary creatures would you like to see at the corner of Crossroads and Cosplay? We would love to know. Leave a comment here under the blog post, use the contact form on the sidebar, or be brave enough to take part in a survey at the top of the page on the sidebar. And some of the choices, I think, are pretty cool. I'm scrolling up to the top of the blog because that post is down near the bottom. Let's see. Okay, here are some of the creatures and fantasy things you can vote for. Vampire, wizard, zombie, elf, werewolves, Greek god, superhero, angel, demon, dwarf, troll, fairy, medieval knight, evil enchantress. Oh, please, take the time to vote. Have some fun doing it. And enjoy yourself. That's part and parcel of what's going on here. If you're looking down the sidebar of the Helping Hands Press blog, you can see the super sale still going on until June 18th. Simply use the coupon code SPRINGSUPERSALE. There's some of the gadgets you can share the blog anywhere. The HHP logo, you can click on that, go right to the website. Below that, you can see pretty much in real time the HHP Twitter feed. And you can see that Murray Pure is right now. The tweet for Murray Pure's Preacher Man being the featured paperback is right there. Now, if you're not following the HHP Twitter, you can do it right there. Just click on the follow button in the right-hand corner right there. Helping Hands Press, they love their readers. There's total page views for the blog, 672,804. If you need any of the links, you can't find them for Helping Hands Press. There's our website, Twitter, the Helping Hands Press store. If you want to submit, if you want to submit something, there's Facebook and the blog. Now, here's a badge for Blog Talk Radio. You can see George Taylor and Sue Badeau. That was George's podcast last week. You can see the Helping Hands Press from last week if you want to go back and listen to that. Here are the 10 most popular posts on the HHP blog, the contact form. Pinterest, and then you go down here, there's a blog list. And here you can see the most recent blog posts in a thumbnail for a lot of the Helping Hands Press blogs, authors. And right across from that is one of the posts I haven't spoken about tonight. And that is, this post is going to crop up at about 9:15. Where will Sue Badeau be speaking in June and July? June 10 to 12, next week. She's going to be here in Philly, building bridges of hope for children who have experienced trauma. One Child, Many Hands Conference, University of Penn in Philadelphia. She's there June 10 to 12. Creating Webinars at Work and WOW, Advanced Speakers and Writers Association, June 27th in Orlando, Florida. Okay, Basics of Becoming Trauma Informed at Pennsylvania Council of Children, Youth, and Family Services, July 2nd, here in Phily. Unpacking the No and Permanency Values, Casey Family Programs in Austin, Texas, July 15th to 17th. And the first week in August, she's at the School Justice Partnership Faculty, Georgetown University, Washington, D.C., August 3rd. If you want to catch up with Sue, if you want to try to, just click on her website and get to find out more about her. Let's see. Okay. One side note here. There will be an additional 7 or 8 blog posts here on the Helping Hands Press blog over the weekend. They will appear on Facebook and on Twitter this weekend by a number of the Helping Hands Press authors. Trying to remember who is included in that group, but I do believe it is Michelle Huey, Michelle Trossel, Cindy Noonan, Patty J. Smith, Marta Burden, Carolyn Orvitz. There's quite a number of them. Those blogs will be added to the Helping Hands Press blog over the weekend and will be shared on Facebook and Twitter. Oh, there's a blog post I missed. For the ebook giveaway, trivia time. Who would like to win some incredible ebooks? Answer the trivia question correctly, and we will gladly send you all the ebooks in just the number ones ebook package. Remington Colts, just the number ones. The San Francisco Wedding Planner, the Wells Fargo Express Series, The Outlaw and Chain, Colony Zero, Declaration of Independence. Fill out the contact form on the sidebar of the HHP blog to send your answer in. Here's the trivia question. The first gold strike in the Old West was made by who, in what year, and in what town? All you gotta do is scroll down underneath the top 10 blog posts, and there's a contact form. Fill that out, and please put in the correct answers. And we'll, Helping Hands Press will be more than happy to send you that ebook bundle of just the number ones. Awesome authors involved there. The stories themselves are incredible. And spans a lot of genres there. Western, romance, contemporary, historical, sci-fi, all great stuff. So please, if you can just effort the answer and be ready to be a winner. Let's see what's going on the Facebook page. Yeah, so if anybody's on the Facebook page, please be nice enough to share it. Okay, let's see if there's any comments on Millennium Jaskies. Peggy Blaine Pfeiffer. I looked at these on the HHP blog today. I like B, as it definitely evokes a World War II story. Even after reading the description, A just doesn't work for me. That cover would not induce me to pick it up in a bookstore. B would get a second look. Larry Peterson. A, because the hallway leads to what? Anything is possible. Like A seems to fit the summary best. That's by George Taylor. Let's skip down a bit here. All right, let's see. On Larry Peterson's, Cindy Noonan, I was drawn to B. Usually I go with color, but this time the hooded guy in gray seems spookier but not overpowering. The red troops seem almost overpowering. Christian, thanks for the insightful comments. Appreciate them. That was very nice of Larry. Okay. Okay. Well, let's see where we're at now. It is now 9:07. I'm sorry, folks. For those of you listening to the show later on the archives, I apologize for quoting the time. I'm just trying to keep pace with the show and figure out where I'm at so we don't go over. Let me just try to go through what we've done so far this evening. We read the opening prayer. Patty J. Smith had an interview with Amber Shamel. We talked about the pre-sale for Ann Baxter Campbell's Once Upon Some Holidays. Basically, her Once Upon series, every story in that is now in a complete ebook. That is in pre-sale till next week. You'll be able to use the Spring Supercell coupon on that and save 25%. Tony Hilling's audio, it's not audio sample, it's reading sample. Tony's Voice of Ada Stamen, Volume 1, is an audio book. You can get that in the HHP store right now. The featured audio book this month is Patty J. Smith's Grave Obsessions. I did play that. Larry Peterson, his cover comparison was up, and folks are leaving comments on that on the blog and also on Facebook. New release tonight for Joy Ross Davis, Sisters Divided, Volume 7. That is available right now for 99 cents in a Helping Hands Press store. Big Jim Williams. It was nice enough to join us in the studios. This week was announced that he won, this is the 5th Annual Peacemaker Awards from the Western Fictioneers. He won first place in a brand new, for first novel. Peggy Blaine Pfeiffer, the reading sample for her Sweetwater River Volume 2 Undercurrents is up. Now, Murray Pure tonight released Soft Morning, his fantasy novel. Then there's a cover comparison for Millennium Jaskies' Evasions, which is a prequel to her Oxford Chronicles series, Inklings, Intentions, and I missed one. There's three. We'll get back to that. The ebook giveaway is up. Just answer the trivia question. We asked everybody to go ahead and vote on the for the Crossroads of Cosplay on the sidebar of the blog. There was a poll to vote on your favorite fantasy creatures and warriors to be in the series. We talked about the Spring Supercell. Red Where Sue is going to be in June and July. Talked about the folks that are going to be on Blog Talk this month. And right now, let's see how long George Taylor's podcast is for this week. Now, I'm going to play it in its entirety right now, and it will be played by itself on Monday morning at 8:35. George Taylor has been invited to and will be going to Kansas City, Missouri, to attend the Here Now, the Audio Fiction and Arts Festival. He will be reading, I'm just reading the blog post here. He's going to be reading from Huckleberry Finn. So I'm not going to step on George's toes anymore, because he says it much more eloquently than I will, or can. And his voice is much better than mine. So let's take it home with George Taylor. I want to thank everybody tonight. It's been on Facebook. It's on Twitter. I want to thank everybody out there that is nice enough to share the show, the G-Zone here, and help people find new authors to them. And I want to thank everybody for being kind enough to like, share, tweet, fave, share on StumbleUpon, Tumblr, Pinterest, the show, so other folks can find new authors to them. And I hope everybody has a nice night and an awesome weekend. And without further ado, here's voice actor George Taylor from Narration by George.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other ideas of interest. This is number 15 in our series, and this week we're going to focus on an audio event coming up next week in Kansas City, Missouri. Here Now, the Audio Fiction and Arts Festival is the audio equivalent of a film festival for contemporary audio fiction, including live and scripted solo performances, audio theater, audio books, audio art, classic radio drama, sound design, and much more. This annual four-day festival offers a multifaceted program showcasing the many forms of audio fiction and sound art storytelling in listening sessions, live performances, and podcasts. The festival works to present audio fiction programs that exemplify traditions of craftsmanship as well as of aesthetic and technological innovation. This is the only festival of its kind in the U.S. dedicated to celebrating the art of recorded and live audio fiction storytelling in all its many genres and forms, so says Here Now Festival Director Cynthia Allen. You can find more online, the events, the cost, and everything, at herenowfestival.org, or go to my website, that's narrationbygeorge.com, and click on the festival banner on the first page. Yours truly is proud to have been selected to be a part of this festival. So on Thursday night, June 11th, I'll be part of the opening night's readings from the writing of Mark Twain. Of course, Twain was born in Missouri. His writings are still loved and read. Big Twain fan here. That Thursday night, I will be sharing the stage with Roseanne Devine and Kelly Hazen as we read from various Mark Twain works. I will start out by reading a selection from Huckleberry Finn. I'm going to let you hear a sample of it. This is from Chapter 8. Huck has escaped his kidnapping by his pappy. He's hiding out on Jackson's Island. And here's a sample of what I'll be presenting next Thursday night. The sun was up so high when I waked that I judged it was after 8 o'clock. I lay there in the grass in the cool shade, thinking about things and feeling rested and rather comfortable and satisfied. I could see the sun out at one or two holes. Mostly it was big trees all about and gloomy in there amongst them. There was freckled places on the ground where the light sifted down through the leaves, and freckled places swapped about a little, showing there was a little breeze up there. A couple of squirrels sat on a limb and jabbered at me very friendly. I was powerful, lazy, and comfortable. I didn't want to get up and cook breakfast. Well, I was dozing off again when I thinks I hears a deep sound of boom way up the river. I rouses up and rests on my elbow and listens. Pretty soon I hears it again. I hopped up and went and looked out at the hole in the leaves, and I seen a bunch of smoke laying on the water a long ways up, about abreast the ferry. and there was the ferry boat full of people floating along down. I knowed what was the matter now. Boom! I see the white smoke squirt out of the ferry boat's side. You see, they was firing cannon over the water trying to make my carcass come to the top. I was pretty hungry, but it weren't going to do for me to start a fire because they might see the smoke. So I sat there and watched the cannon smoke and listened to the boom. The river was a mile wide there, and it always looks pretty on a summer morning. So I was having a good enough time seeing them hunt for my remainders, if only I had a bite to eat. Well, then I happened to think how they always put quicksilver in loaves of bread and float them off, because they always go right to the drowned carcass and stop there. So, says I keep a lookout, and if any of them's floating around after me, I'll give them a show. I changed to the Illinois edge of the island to see what luck I could have, and I weren't disappointed. A big double loaf come along, and I almost got it with a long stick, but my foot slipped, and she floated out further. Of course, I was where the current set the closest to the shore. I knowed enough for that. But by and by, along comes another one, and this time I won. I took out the plug and shook out the little dab of quicksilver and set my teeth in. It was baker's bread. What the quality eat? None of your low-down corn pone. I got a good place amongst the leaves and sat there on a log munching the bread and watching the ferry boat and very well satisfied. And then something struck me. I says, now I reckon the widow or the parson or somebody prayed that this bread would find me, and here it is gone and done it. So there ain't no doubt, but there is something in that thing. That is, there's something in it when a body like the widow or the parson prays, but it'll work for me, and I reckon it'll work for only just the right kind. I lit a pipe and had a good long smoke and went on watching. The ferry boat was floating with the current, and I allowed I'd have a chance to see who was aboard when she came along, because she would come in close where the bread did. When she got pretty well along down towards me, I put out my pipe and went to where I fished out the bread and laid down behind a log on the bank in a little open place where the log forked I could peep through. By and by she came along, and she drifted in so close that they could have run out a plank and walked ashore. Most everybody was on the boat. They was talking about the murder. I could see 'em first rate, but they couldn't see me. Then a captain sung out, "Stand away!" And the cannon left off such a blast right before me that it made me deaf with noise and pretty near blind with smoke, and I judged I was gone. If they'd have had some bullets in, I reckon they'd have got a corpse they was after. Well, I see I warn't hurt, thanks to goodness. The boat floated on and went out of sight around the shoulder of the island. I could hear the booming now and then further and further off, and by and by, after an hour, I didn't hear it no more. I knowed I was all right now. Nobody else would come a-hunting after me. I got my traps out of the canoe and made me a nice camp in the thick woods. I made a kind of tent out of my blankets to put my things under so the rain couldn't get at them. I catched a catfish and haggled him open with my saw, and towards sundown I started my campfire and had supper. Then I set out a line to catch some fish for breakfast. When it was dark, I sat by my campfire smoking and feeling pretty well satisfied, but by and by it got sort of lonesome. So I went and sat on the bank and listened to the current swashing along and counted the stars and drift logs and rafts that come down, and then went to bed. There ain't no better way to put in your time when you're lonesome. You can't say so. You soon get over it. As I said, I will not be alone in this outing. Among my companions is Rosie Devine. I talked with her about this event and about her acting career, and she shares a sample of her reading as well. I'm sitting here with Rosie Devine, thanks to the world of Skype, and she's up in Kansas City and me down here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And welcome, Rosie, to the Narration by George podcast. Good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
I'm glad to have you. And unfortunately, Kelly Hazen, who is also going to be reading with us at the Here Now Festival, is unable to join us. We will still talk about her a little bit. Kelly, not behind your back. It's all good, I promise you. So Rosie is an actress who has appeared in theaters in Kansas City, Omaha, St. Louis, worked in independent film, commercial, voiceover, radio. She actually has 9 audiobooks she's produced, courtesy of Audible.com, and she lives, works, plays, and reads in Kansas City. You are a Kansas City native, right, Rosie?
Yes, I am. Born and raised here.
Wow, cool. Cool town. But this is your first appearance that you're making at the Here Now Festival, right?
Yes. I took part in the Here Now Festival in their workshop 101 a couple of years ago, but this is the first time I'm actually taking part in the festival itself as a performer.
All right. Now, Rosie and I, and along with Kelly, we're going to be reading the first night, Thursday night, June 11th, at Prospero's Books. We'll be a part of the Mark Twain reading, celebrating Mark Twain. Rosie will be reading a section. I'm going to have her read a little bit of what she's going to read for us, just to give you a sample. But, Rosie, how did you come to this world we call acting?
Oh, golly. I think when I was probably in high school, I took the drama class, just sort of kept doing community theater, got a degree. My college degree was in theater. It was just a general theater degree, though, and just kept working through the years. Got my equity card at one point and then got rid of it a few years later, and just been hanging about the theaters ever since then. I took a hiatus when I was married and then came back to it afterwards, and even took up with old friends in the theater who I'd been in school with. So.
All right. And your current work is audiobooks, but you're also doing some other theater stuff as well there in KC, right?
Right. Yes. I'm auditioning all the time and got some callbacks and things coming up soon. I take part in a radio program called Shots in the Night on KKFI Radio here. And it's on once a month. We write little skits and perform them. There's a group of 9 of us who take part in that. This month is going to be, it's always the first Thursday of the month. And this month is going to be, I think, Aliens. And then we're going to perform one called Jokes in June. We've just been collecting jokes, and we're going to go through one of those kind of things. Last year, we went through the 7 deadly sins. Each month had a theme.
All right. So what's your favorite kind of drama? What do you most like to do?
As far as performing or watching?
Performing.
I love farce. I love farce. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why farce?
I don't know. It feels natural to me. Maybe because it's so close to life.
Okay. All right. Less acting involved?
No.
No?
No, there's a great deal of acting involved in farce.
Yeah.
It's just a great kind of comedy. Some of the great comedy plays have been farces. And,
True.
I think because that there's that element of reality is lifted from it because it's so ridiculous. The situations can become so ridiculous. Some of the Alan Aykroyd kind of plays where, all the slamming doors, those kind of things are just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what led you into the world of audiobooks?
I think partly the Here Now Festival opened me up because I was listening to the radio on my lunch hour one day and heard about this, and I just ran back to the office and signed up and got involved in listening and things there. And then I started listening in the car. I just started popping radio audiobooks into the car whenever I drive. And about a year ago, my acting coach teamed up with a former student who is narrating audiobooks, and they started teaching some classes, 4-week classes on narration. And I took the first one and just took off from there. ACX has been a great resource for those of us in Kansas City, because there's not much else happening in the audiobook industry here. We don't get the opportunities people on the coast do. So I've been going through that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same thing here in Chattanooga. I mean, we if it's not for ACX, we're not doing anything really in the world of audiobooks, because it's not happening here either. So
right.
Yeah, it's just seems to be a New York and Los Angeles and those areas seem to draw that.
Right.
But then that's the way the theater is right now.
So you
have recorded 9 audiobooks. What genres have you recorded in?
I started, the first thing I did was sort of business help, self-help kind of business type of thing. I did some short children's stories, which were great fun, little Cajun girls. So I got to work on Cajun accents, and I've done a wonderful short story. I've done a novel about people who live in a retirement village called The Last Stop. And so series of narrations, the listener becomes the newest resident of this retirement village, and people start talking to him or her, whoever you are. So you become part of the book yourself. So you are that extra person. I just recorded, Lizzie Borden just came out about 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. Lizzie Borden. And that's just beautifully written. Elizabeth Engstrom is a wonderful writer, and we're quite excited about this one. The anniversary of the murders is in August 4th, so hopefully something will come of that, you know, for Lizzie Borden fans and people who have read the book, because the book had gone through 4 printings when it was available in book form, and now it's on ebook and audiobook. And so it was quite a, you know, had a nice run, and I think people who read the book may want to hear the audiobook now.
I hope so. It sounds interesting. So in your contact with the Here Now Festival, what to date has been your best part of it or your favorite part of it?
Oh, golly. The first year when I was involved in Workshop 101, we were literally in classes all the time from like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., so we didn't get to do much.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Netherworld, a Neil Gaiman book. We got to go in and you listen to that. And it was one of those, not so much a narrated book, but almost a radio program.
Okay.
And that seems to be a really hot genre, especially in the British Isles, I guess. And there's a wonderful local group called Right Between the Ears, which is a lot like the, what is the Washington Steps or something?
Capitol Steps.
It's a lot like that, but not so political. It's just
Capital Steps is all political satire. Beautifully done.
Right. Well, they do things kind of like that, that same kind of pace and all, except it's not political satire. It's just very, very funny. And they will be performing, I think, on Friday night. And I always go to those performances when I can. They're really, really good. If I can get into any of the anything that Barbara Rosenblatt is doing, that gives some great advice. And last year I listened to a bunch of Robin and Barbara and some of the other people came in and they just read some excerpts from things that they chose that were fun for them. And to watch them at work was really great.
I bet it is. I'm looking forward to this because I've mentioned this on air, but I'm going to be sitting with Barbara in a one-on-one coaching session. I'm about as stoked about it as I can be. So,
oh, yes, yes. There was a lot of competition for what you got.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going, what, I got you, this?
You the man. I mean, that was wonderful. Yeah. And I'm so glad that I get to be working with the person who got it,
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to working with you, too, really. So we're going to be reading Mark Twain together on Thursday night at Prospero's Books at 5:30 p.m. if you're in the Kansas City area and listening to this. That's on June 11th. And you get free pizza if you're a pizza eater. That's a wonderful thing. So we are going to be reading Mark Twain. Rosie and myself and Kelly Hazen will all be reading sections from different books. I've got a section I'm going to read from Huck Finn. Kelly is going to read a piece out of Tom Sawyer, the whitewashing of the fence. And Rosie's got a selection out of the Diaries of Eve, if I remember
Adam
right.
And Eve.
Adam and Eve, okay.
Right.
The Diaries of Adam and Eve. And what section are you reading out of that?
Well, I'm doing a few days here early in the diaries when they're just sort of getting used to each other being around and have just naming of the animals is one section we'll be doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You want to share a sample with us, set it up and share it with us?
Sure. We're going to start with a Monday. The diary itself starts with Saturday, and Eve has just come into her consciousness. But we're going to start with Monday with Adam and then go into Wednesday a few days later. And, of course, I guess the days in these could be eons. So here we go.
Okay.
Monday. This new creature with the long hair is a good deal in the way. It is always hanging around and following me about. I don't like it. I'm not used to company. I wish it would stay with the other animals. Wednesday. We are getting along very well indeed now and getting better and better acquainted. He does not try to avoid me anymore, which is a good sign and shows that he likes to have me with him. That pleases me, and I study to be useful to him in every way I can so as to increase his regard. During the last day or two, I have taken all the work of naming things off his hands, and this has been a great relief to him, for he has no gift in that line and is evidently very grateful. He can't think of a rational name to save him, but I do not let him see that I am aware of his defect. Whenever a new creature comes along, I name it before he has time to expose himself by an awkward silence. In this way, I have saved him many embarrassments. I have no defect like his. The minute I set eyes on an animal, I know what it is. I don't have to reflect a moment. The right name just comes out instantly, just as if it were an inspiration, as no doubt it is. For I am sure it wasn't in me half a minute before. I seem to know just by the shape of the creature and the way it acts what animal it is. When the dodo came along, he thought it was a wildcat. I saw it in his eye. But I saved him, and I was careful not to do it in a way that could hurt his pride. I just spoke up in a quite natural way of pleased surprise, and not as if I was dreaming of conveying information, and said, "Well, I do declare, if there isn't the dodo." I explained without seeming to be explaining how I knew it for a dodo, and although maybe he was a little piqued that I knew the creature when he didn't, it was quite evident that he admired me. That was very agreeable, and I thought it more than once with gratification before I slept. How little a thing can make us happy when we feel that we have earned it. Tuesday. I get no chance to name anything myself. The new creature names everything that comes along before I can get in a protest, and always the same pretext is offered. It looks like the thing. There is the dodo, for instance. Says the moment one looks at it, one sees at a glance that it looks like a dodo. It will have to keep that name, no doubt. It wearies me to fret about it, and it does no good anyway. Dodo. It looks no more like a dodo than I do. How's that?
That's wonderful. Thank you. Oh, it's been many years since I've read that book, and I've forgotten the very sharp and wonderful wit that's a part of it. And,
yes,
of course, well, that's classic Mark Twain.
Right, and you know, Thornton Wilder took this book and turned it into a play.
I didn't know that.
Yes, uh-huh.
Really?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. I've got to look that up now.
Yeah, I do, too. Now I want to go read the play.
Yeah, excellent. Actually, I do, too. I'm going, whoa, I got to check this out. All right. So what else would you like to share with us, Miss Rosie, that I haven't asked you about?
Oh, golly. I probably had things in my head before I read. Well, right now I'm working on a new book about Henry Kissinger, the biography there.
I bet that's fascinating.
I think it will be. I haven't gotten into it yet. I've just printed off my pages and started trying to organize things.
Uh-huh.
So it's a short biography, about an hour and a half long, I think.
Well, thank you for joining me. Thank you for spending a few minutes with me. I appreciate it very, very much. And I look forward to meeting you in person next week.
Yes. And we'll do the tour of Kansas City and we'll have some Mexican food here, I guess. You said you wanted.
Mexican or Italian. I mean, just whatever works with a guy with a no-meat diet.
So. Great. Okay. We'll find you something.
There we go. Rosie, thank you for joining me. And we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Right, bye. My other companion is actress Kelly Hazen, Kelly could not join me for the interview for this podcast, so let me just tell you a little bit about her. From her website, it's kellyhazen.net. I get the impression there's not much she doesn't do. Actress, writer, singer, dancer, mother, teacher, preacher, friend, tinker, tailor, soldier, spy, your worst nightmare, a friend to all, and a sister to every other Girl Scout. Hey, that's a quote, folks. She's worked in film, television, off-Broadway, done other stage work all over the country. She's an Audible-approved producer and a two-time Earphones Award winner from Audible Magazine. She was born and raised in Kansas City, and currently she plays Dr. Bartlett on ABC's The Young and the Restless. She's a three-time Chicago Joseph Jefferson winner, two-time Los Angeles Ovation Award winner. She's also a lecturer for the world-renowned Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles. And on Thursday night, she's going to be reading from Tom Sawyer. You'll learn how to whitewash a fence, Tom Sawyer style. Now, I don't have a Mark Twain sample for you to hear from her, but I do have the following from her website.
Lila Mae Alcott sat behind the wheel of her cocoa-colored Bentley with a cream interior as the air conditioning blasted. Two faces stared out the glass door of the posh shop the Bentley was parked in front of. Lila Mae was oblivious to all as she focused on her cell phone, muttering to herself. "Oh, no," she said. "Not only is Mercury retrograde, but the moon is void and it was just full in Scorpio and will no doubt clobber my sisters big time." Lila Mae exited the astrology website and pocketed the cell phone. Then she switched the car off and retrieved her keys out of the ignition. She opened the door, then noticed the girls' faces pressed against the glass. Lila Mae waved before she swung her shapely legs out of the car. She grabbed for her straw purse and the custom-made frilly parasol, vintage 1900s, and a shade of buttercream that matched her suit. Lila Mae aimed the umbrella out of the open door and pressed a button on the handle, and the parasol quickly sprung open. The Alcott Chocolates Company heiress climbed out of the car and bumped the door closed with a trim hip. She pushed a button on her key remote and set the car alarm. "Yes, Mother, I'm protecting my face from the sun," Lila Mae said under her breath as the sun blazed down from the Houston sky. It was unusually warm for January, but the weather had been crazy all last year, and it appeared to be heading in that direction once again. Lila Mae walked determinedly on 4-inch acrylic heels toward the upscale clothing shop on Kirby Drive at West Alabama. A tinkling bell announced her arrival, and the staff of two swooped down on their familiar customer.
"How nice to see you, Miss Alcott," Nadine tittered.
She retrieved the parasol, collapsed it, and handed it back to Lila Mae, scanning the perfectly made-up face. "Not an age spot in sight," Nadine observed. Money had its advantages.
"Madge, I mean Mrs. Abercrombie, is in the dressing room,"
Mary announced in a moderated whisper, eyes wide with knowing. One look at Mary told Lila Mae everything she needed to know. She headed toward the back of the store, fearing the worst. "You don't suppose Madge is trying on anything sensible, now do you?"
"She's going to tell you it's for Sissy,"
Mary whispered. Keeping pace beside Lila Mae, she made the gesture of slitting her throat. "Did she actually say she was shopping for Sissy, or for you not to tell me?" Lila Mae shuddered at the thought. Snickering, Nadine returned to the counter, popping her gum loudly. "Madge, let's see what you found," Lila Mae bellowed from outside the dressing room. She sat down on a horrid little orange plastic chair that she thought may have had a past life in a cafeteria during the 60s, but was suddenly popular again. The curtain parted, and Madge Abercrombie posed. Her magenta-tinted curly hair forged a sharp contrast to the robin's egg blue shimmery spandex shirt. The cropped cargo pants did fit her to perfection, but she was unaware that her sister cringed inwardly. "Are you going for the I'm 66 and have Alzheimer's so I won't remember this ensemble tomorrow look?" Lila Mae threw at her older sister. The bell on the front door tinkled the announcement of another shopper. Chance Walker sauntered up to the sisters and drew out his official Houston Police Department's detective's badge.
"Am I going to have to make an arrest here, ladies?"
he asked in his gruffest voice.
"Get out the handcuffs, officer. Madge won't go quietly," Lila May said, as she raised her hands, blue spandex forgotten, and went to greet him. Chance and Lila May shared a giggle. They hugged in a best friend way. She appraised his charcoal suit and crisp white linen shirt and multicolored tie, none of which were off the rack. Lila May was pretty sure that Chance was the best-dressed detective on the force and the wealthiest cop in Houston, having been raised in River Oaks.
"Saw the cars and thought I'd drop in," Chance said.
"You got here just in time," Lila May claimed as she brushed imaginary lint from his suit jacket. Chance did look good in a suit, and he was fit and trim for his 56 years, Lila May thought. They stood arm in arm, Chance towering over Lila May by a good 6 inches.
"Hi, Chance. Like it?" Madge asked. "Why should Sissy get to have all the fun?"
She disappeared behind the dressing room curtain.
"Because she's 22, or maybe because she's your granddaughter," Lila May offered.
"I knew this shopping trip was going to be disastrous as soon as you mentioned this place. Why do you do this to yourself?"
That's actress Kelly Hazen, who will be appearing with Rosie Devine and myself for the Here Now Festival, Mark Twain Celebration, in Kansas City, Missouri. That starts on June 11th. The three of us will be reading Mark Twain that evening, starting at 5:30 p.m. at Prospero's Books. Admission is free to that part of the festival. This festival looks to be a lot of fun, so I invite you, if you're anywhere in striking distance of Kansas City, to come on by. Well, that's all the time for the Narration by George podcast this week, and probably for next week as well. Since I'll be at the festival next week, travel time will prevent this podcast from being new then, so just listen to some of the other podcasts. Catch up. Enjoy. Don't forget you can catch me on the web at narrationbygeorge.com. Like my Facebook page. Please like my Facebook page. It's Narration by George. Follow me on Twitter. I am at Narration by Geo. Find me on Pinterest. It's Narration by George. And join me in 2 weeks. That'll be on Wednesday, June 17th, when the Narration by George podcast will again be new.